This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
The aftermath of every social revolution brings about change. Cultural norms and landmarks shift as our minds and hearts expand beyond the familiar. To everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose in the land of the living. This is our time to renew, revive, and restore the hope lost to the busyness of life. This is our time to dig again and rebuild from the storms of our past on a solid footing that holds. Welcome to The Foundation.
The Foundation.
The Foundation. The Pirates Grant is brought to you by Alive, the Bahamas Football Association, Burger King, Commonwealth Bank, the Deposit Insurance Corporation, Grand Bahama News, Popeyes, and Ron's Electric Motors.
The Foundation.
It's the Foundation. It's the Foundation.
It's rocking the nation. Howard Grant's the host, Guardian Radio Station 96.9. 12 to 2 is the time. You can call the show or use the text line. Yeah, he educates, he informs. He goes against the norm. He's really got that zeal. Plus, he's a child of God.
Foundation. It's the Foundation. Foundation.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM radio, Howard Grant in your company, The Foundation, on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. You know, it's supposed to be a panel discussion. We are here getting into some deep discussions today. I am grateful to be in your company, guys. I thank you so very kindly for tuning in. If you're out there, you want to be able to know how to pick us up, guardiantalkradio.com, guardiantalkradio.com. You can be able to pick up the information from there. We are live and in full effect here on this beautiful, absolutely gorgeous Wednesday, September 6th, for all those persons celebrating birthdays in the month of birth. We say happy birthday to you, and we pray that the Father continues to be able to bless you as you move from glory to glory into the purpose that you were called to. Talk to me. Slap yourself in the chest. You're living. Talk to me. You ain't dead. You're right here with us, so we're going to be able to chop these things down and get into it today. It's a beautiful day. I want to thank all those persons for being able to send me those texts. I think I got to be able to give a lot of congratulations to a great deal of persons. For the mother of the 9-year-old, right? I got to be as decent as possible before I slip and say these people's name. For the mother of the 9-year-old, who we've been continuing to be able to shower with blessings. There's a couple things that's happening. We told you that baby girl's birthday is going to be in October. There's some commitment that you guys have made. I got some cakes. I got some backdrops. I got some balloons. Somebody give me a Bunsen castle, please. Let's do some stuff. We're going to do a small party for the baby girl. Right? So you've made some commitments. I got a great commitment for a one-day pass over at either Bahama or Atlantis. You guys have done very well. But I just wanted to kind of put that in your spirit as we take a sort of a pause before we get into another space and talk about some stuff. So I'm grateful to you for being able to do that. I want to be able to thank all those persons at who sent me stuff? The Grand Bahama Port Authority. The Grand Bahama Port Authority officials was be able to send me something, or he sent it over to them. I want to thank them, man. Rupert Haywood has been phenomenal in what he's done and how he's been able to do those things. So I'm grateful for him and grateful for an opportunity to be able to kind of pass that on. I want to thank all those persons over at AG Atlantic. They are amazing for what they've done. They've made commitments. I picked it up. We was able to pass that thing on. I want to thank all those persons who have participated and gave. I picked up a little gift. I didn't know. I couldn't see it. A gift at the front desk. We gave it over to the girl. It felt like, I don't know, a carving. I didn't open it. And you ain't leaving in. So I just want to thank you, whoever that person was who dropped that off to the desk. You guys are amazing, man. I want to thank you so very kindly for being able to do what you've done. And I want to say this just as a caveat, as a segue into the concept of continuing to do this for our brothers and sisters that are out there. Understand that, you know, when your issue becomes a community issue, persons like myself would definitely come running to you. I have had since then a great deal of people come to me. I just want to be decent as possible. Mr. Grant, I got child, I battling with this diabetes. I battling with this, I battling with that. I understand. And whilst we're definitely empathetic to your battle, I can't help everybody like that. I mean, don't fight me like that. I can't help everybody like that. But whatever I can do to be able to assist, I'll definitely do that. I'm grateful for the opportunity to be able to sit in this seat to help the way that I am. Guys, make sure you pick up your newspaper. The Guardian, the Nassau Guardian, has all the information in there. I want you guys to be able to pick that up. Also, significant interest in Grand Lucayan. In the Grand Lucayan, three parties eye possible purchase of resort, DPM says. All the information's in there. You can see the close eye on the tropical storm Lee. Make sure you check that out. Dengue cases continue to rise. I just watched some information about being able to release strategically certain mosquitoes into the atmosphere. I just watched a little something on that. We are roaring back. Some information's in the paper for tourism numbers, talking about those things. Minister defends exam results. So that's there. Make sure you go check out my guys, AFS, even at the birth of this month, the beginning of this month, as you transition, you got to get your car licensed, you got to get your place insured, inspect, so forth and so on. AFS Insurance Agents and Brokers. Make sure you check him out, my good guy, Ethric Bowe. Give him a call, 341-AFS, 1-AFS, 341-1-AFS. You can be able to assist them. He'll assist you in all those things and ensure you can be able to get those things done. Guys, it's a beautiful day. Bam, we got everything on the way. Now, last week we had a conversation, Friday. It was not necessarily a peculiar conversation for Friday, but it was engaging enough that caused persons to not only think, but to call in. And to call in after the show. I had a lot of my pastors and bishops text me and say, boy, how would that fella boy, anyhow, right? Decent, they text me, how would that fella boy, Howard? And I made a commitment to him. I made a commitment. I said, listen, if you were available next week, I'd love to be able to do it again. He said, sure, Howard. And I'm grateful for the opportunity to be able to sit here with him today and do this. Not so much just because he is my hometown boy, right? My father, my daddy then would say things like home slice, right? Not so much because he is from where I am. Not so much it's because he is doing things nationally, internationally, and globally. It's because the impact, it's because the consistency, the persistence, and the conviction, the fact that he is anchored in his faith, in his consistency, and being able to speak the raw, unadulterated word of God. That's what we're getting into today, guys. I'm going to open up the lines for you to be able to engage in conversation and talk about these things. But I wanted to be able to let you know more specifically. He came to talk to us about a book that he had. He released it. If you got a book last week and you didn't pick it up, it's right here. I think I see one book that's downstairs. It's still right here. You can be able to pick up your book and be able to do that. The book is called Prayers That Work, Using Scripture that brings change for Prayers That Work. This is the information. This is Kevin L.A. Ewing. He's sitting here with us in the studio. It is a wonderful thing to have you, my brother. I am grateful that you're still here in the city and have an opportunity to be able to sit with us again. God bless you. Talk to me, man. Say good afternoon to those persons listening out there.
Good afternoon to you, Howard, and good afternoon to your audience. It is indeed, once again, a pleasure to be here by the grace of God.
I'm grateful that you are here, my brother. I am, like I said to you, I had significant conversations since last week that spoke to the fact that Man, Howard, what the fella talking about tithing? I tell you, get one text, the fella say, I agree with you with this, but I know about this, right? So it's lopsided in these particular things. There is an aggressive approach to doing these things. Guys, I want to read a couple captions and just some chapters that he has here in the book
The book is an amazing thing. It's $20, I think you say. It's available for at, where's on Soldier Road?
Right. There are two places we got locked down right now. The first one would be Da Vinci Printing, located at Village Road Shopping Center.
Village Road.
And the second one will be All Season Books and Gift Center, Palmdale Shopping Center.
Okay, so Da Vinci Printing and All Season. You can pick up the book for $20. It's called Prayers That Work. He has about maybe eight to nine different slots that he gives you this sort of an overarching view of what he can be able to speak about from prayer standpoint. So you get foundational prayers, daily prayers, dream prayers, prayers for the mind, prayers for blessing, prayers for family, spiritual warfare prayers, miscellaneous prayers that talk about healing, being single, talk to me, and for your workplace, and then he gives you some information about who he is and how he does those particular things. My brother, talk to me about this. Talk to me about how you got into the specifics as it relates to this. When we started to speak last week, you talked about the fact that a lot of persons are travailing. They're committed to this concept of religion, and they wrap it in this idea of faith, but they see no substance in their life. They see no application. There's nothing actually happening. No matter how much they make proclamation and all this decree and declare, nothing's coming to pass.
Right.
Talk to me about that.
Yeah, I'd be more than happy to talk to you about that. But first of all, like I would have said last week, and I'm going to, again, stick 10 toes down with that. People are looking for results. We are just tired of churches telling us, giving us pies in the skies, telling us the blessing is around the corner, there's a shift in the atmosphere and all this other stuff. We are done with that. What we want is the actual protocols, rules, principles of Scripture that we can clearly understand and be led by with the expectation of what that promise is that was made. And this is what we're not getting because, as you will see today, the average church goes along with this cultural thing of planting seeds and giving God monies, and the bigger your money is, the bigger the blessing is going to be. And there's nowhere in Scripture that you would find this. In fact, in the book of Matthew 13, very clear, and it says that the seed is the word of God. With that said, this is the basis and the premises of my book. My job is to take the people back to the root. Scripture says to us that the just, those who are living according to, who have accepted Jesus Christ, must live by faith. Mm-hmm. Faith is not just the word of God. It is the belief in that word. For example, when you believe in God for a particular thing, in this book is telling you to get the appropriate scriptures in relation to whatever it is. And what you're going to do is spend more time focusing, praying, meditating on those scriptures as opposed to what we were trained to do, where we focus more on the situation. You see, because if your faith is in God, then your faith is in His Word. The Word of God is God Himself. And you're saying to God, I'm coming to you. I'm not going to the voodoo man. I'm not going to some priestess, some priest or whatever. I'm coming to you, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God that made the sun stand still for Joshua, the God that parted the Red Sea for Moses. This God I'm coming to, but I'm not coming to you being repetitive about what I want. Because for the majority of times, you're praying out of frustration, fear, anger, all this other stuff. But because my focus is on the Word, Father God, your Word says that no good thing shall be withheld from those that walk uprightly. Father, your Word declares that if I delight myself in you, you would give me the desires of my heart. Well, Father God, there's no sense in me bringing back this ankle problem I have. I told you this from the get-go. Therefore, I'm going to give you the scriptures because of your son's, the stripes that he took, I am healed. You are my Jehovah Rapha. You are the God that healed me. The book of Psalms 1 says that we ought to meditate on this Word day and night. And then we become like a tree planted by the rivers of water that'll bring forth our fruit, which is what we're looking for in our due season. Going back to Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, and it says that you must observe to do this book of the law and to meditate upon it day and night. Then shall you be prosperous. Then shall you have good success. So here we have, Howard, two spiritual laws, protocols, two spiritual guidelines to attain success. What we're getting today? Give God a seed. Give your best seed. I hear God say, if you give this right now, 10 people in here, right, come right now. And God is going to turn that thing. This is not Scripture. So the people now are frustrated. We've been doing this foolishness for years, and we're getting nothing out of this. Every time we come to this place, rather than getting the spiritual healing that we need to address our spiritual problems that will cause us now, or cause it to pan out physically, these promises, We are being taxed, shake down every single thing. Sow a seed.
Everybody feel like sow a on seed. All angles and all areas of our lives, there is, we have to almost pay a toll to get to another tier.
Right.
That's too much.
Not only another toll to get to another tier, then aside from that, then you have to go through another human. Then you got to now go through, okay, this person got to be your covering. You got to pay for that now. During the pandemic, I don't know if I told you this the last time. During the pandemic, I had a lady from America sent me this letter that they got from their church. And the church letter said that, you know, they were back on their tithes and offerings. They wasn't giving that. And in order to be under the covering, their financial status in terms of the church have to be updated. If not, they could lose their covering. And I'm like, okay, what covering are you going to be losing in terms of Jesus Christ who died for you? Whatever covering you had is under him. So where do we get another human being between you and Christ when the scriptures are very clear? There is but one God. And there's one mediator, one middleman, one negotiator between you and God, and that's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, God gave the rules. He says the head of the church, or your covering, is Jesus, husband, wife, and the head of Christ is God. So how do we squeeze a preacher? And I know a lot of them here, and I know a lot of them upset, but you're only upset because we're going against your rules. This isn't the rules of God. So I find people that follow the rules of Scripture, they yield a lot more than those who follow traditions and bylaws.
I want to talk to you about something because as you speak, my mind drifts, right? And I start to envision yesteryear when there was a sort of a palatable, concentrated focus on the things of God and faith and understanding, even the environment, how we carried ourselves. Let me look from a biblical standpoint, even when we were a fishing village here in the country. But things have changed, whether that's been the introduction of independence, whether that's been the introduction of this democracy that we've taken on, whether that is, God for us all, every man for himself and then God for us all, this mindset that takes over. Has there been a slipping away from the belief that there is a supreme God and more of a casual understanding that, oh, well, you know, it's a great story that the Bible tells. I like this story. Has there been sort of a detachment to the belief that we had yesteryear? Do you see it?
Yeah, I do. I do. And I've seen the mechanism or even the culture that has brought that in. It isn't that people dismiss God, but here we have. Let's go back to this covering because this is something that I totally detest. What the covering does is it literally puts a person ahead of you to make you believe that you're accountable to them. For example, every pastor that I who follows this stuff will say, give me a different version or understanding of this covering. And it's all because it's not biblical. Or they will use, I think it's Romans or Hebrews 13, sorry, and talk about how we ought to submit to our rulers or whatever. And the truth is what it means, that you must submit to the ones that lead you and those who are leading you to Jesus Christ and not to them. What has happened here is it isn't that people dismiss God in terms of they don't believe in him. The problem that we have, and it will eventually come to that if this trend continue, they have no fear for God. And I give you a perfect example of it. I remember back in Freeport one time, I was counseling this particular person. And they were telling me about their church, blah, blah, blah. And anyway, coming at the end of the counseling, they were saying to me how they were going to be traveling on the weekend. And they have to call their pastor to cover them in prayer. So I said, what do you mean you have to call your pastor to cover? Yeah, you have to cover me. I said, well, what is he covering you from? Is there some superpower, some spider web? But what is it that he has that he's going to put upon you that is going to help you? So he says, no. She said, no, he's going to cover me. I said, okay, tell me this. So if you leave here right now, after calling him, and let's say you were in an accident, you survived it. So who does the credit go to? Do we give it to the covering or do we give it to God Almighty who even covers you and him? So she paused. I say, right, sometimes we need to think before we utter this type of foolishness.
But nobody thinks these days.
Right. So I'm saying to her, I said, listen to me carefully here. The majority of people in church that are not getting breakthroughs and healing and so on because they have idolized a human. Am I saying disrespect your pastor? No. Am I saying reject him? No. Am I saying whatever? No. I am saying he have his place just like me as a pastor. And what is that? Our job, according to scripture, right? We are to equip the saints. We are the one who's supposed to tell them about God, teach them about his rules, his laws, his principles, all of this stuff. And guess what? With the sole intent for them now to go off into their ministry and to now bring souls to the kingdom of God or edify the body of Christ. Church is never a place for people to hang out for the rest of their lives. It's a school. You go there to be educated. And once you're educated and God has already tell you your calling, you might be able to continue with that calling as well as he might say, look, you're going to the world. And that's what I did. 2012, I got up and left. I was already done with it. Went out there and now begin to move. And when I begin to move, according to the Spirit of God, this is what bought the people, the popularity and everything else. So as a result of that, people now get to see what you've been learning all this time in church. But they cannot see it if you stuck in a bench worshiping a person under the guise that is God. So here's the point I'm making. So watch this. The guy who says this pastor is his covering, and this is where it gets so nasty and in an idolatry way. He is more fearful of his covering than he is of God. Let me prove it to you. He got a sweetheart. He go and check the sweetheart every Tuesday, right? God watching this brother 24-7. 24-7. Got no fear for God. But one day he leaving his sweetheart house and he see a car would look like his pastor car. And he almost run into the wall trying to get back in his woman's house, trying to hide from the pastor. So you see what I'm saying to you? When we put in this foolishness about coverings and all this garbage, what you're telling people is that you must honor me. You must be more afraid of me. You must have more respect for me. We can get to God, but until then, you give me the glory. If you and your husband got back together or whatever, even though I didn't pray for you, but I was your covering, what does that mean? Now, my next question was, okay, where was all of this covering when COVID was here? Where was all this covering when Dorian was in Freeport? Where was all of this spiritual help and all of this stuff? So the Bible says to us in Romans 12, I think verse 3, it says, let no man think more highly of himself than he ought to. Meaning that if God has called you to be a pastor and a teacher, Kevin, then you just settle right there, stay in your lane. You don't go around as if you got some superpowers and that you could do boom and then people just be healed and all this. If you weren't called to that, relax. But don't give people the impression I right below God is me. In fact, Jesus got to take a seat and let me reel a little bit here. So people, if you want to prosper, if you want to advance in life, then you have to follow the laws, the rules, and the principles. And that's why for me, I don't care who pastor calling. I don't care what their problem is. At the end of the day, Kevin L.A. Ewing and anyone who followed me, stand 10 toes down on the scriptures. Everything I preach is scripture-based repeatedly in my books, in my writings, in my international engagements. I stick with the word. So when you say you don't agree with me, homeboy, homegirl, you don't agree with God.
I want to talk to you about this more specifically because you started to talk about this woman when she started to talk about her covering that she don't think. She has to think. The entire concept, whether it based upon the delusion, based upon it being diluted, whatever has happened, the concept of faith over the years has been to release yourself mm-hmm. from any critical thinking. Release yourself from any ideas that says to you, you have to use your knowledge, the brain that God has given you. You got to throw that away. Yeah. Don't think about this. Just do this, right? You know, fire, heart, forget that. Mm-hmm. You got faith. Your pastors say do it, do it. The entire concept of religion has been to diminish the critical thinking in the body of Christ, mm-hmm. right? To be able to get them to move in a particular direction. But let's do this, because people tell you things change over the years, you know. People don't tell you, thus saith the scripture.
Right.
They tell you, my pastor
right.
said.
Right, there you go. They cover it.
My pastor, you hear what pastor mm-hmm. say?
Right.
And it all places them in this kind of a position where they put this covering on them. They put this go-between them and God. They reconstruct the veil
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
that was torn at one point that gave you immediate access. Talk to me about that. Talk to me about this diminished thinking.
Right. Well, this diminished thinking has come with time, and that is the reason why those that subscribe to this foolishness get away with it is because you have people who insist in not following biblical rules, such as you, the believer, must study to show yourself approved mm-hmm. unto God, not your pastor. The Bible says that you, the believer, must work out your own salvation or deliverance. So it rests the responsibility on the believer that while the pastor, the preacher, the apostle, the teacher is teaching, at the end of the day, they're not responsible for making you believe and making you go and make this thing practical. According to Hebrews 13, it says that they are responsible for, or we, meaning the pastors, are responsible for your souls. And all that simply means is that we are responsible for ensuring that we teach you the word of God, not mm-hmm. our riddles and rhymes and double for your trouble and foolishness. Getting these people to believe in this word, and that this belief in this word is going to manifest the promises that God has put in his word. There's a story in the book of, Judges. I think it's in the book of Judges. And it's about, Gideon? Yes, Gideon. Anyway, after Gideon had already overtaken the Midianites and so on, right? The people were so impressed that they were now back to Israel again. They got back into their homes because they have annihilated these enemies. And the people rally, Howard, around Gideon, said, Gideon, we want to make you our leader. We want to make you our covering. We want to make you our whatever. He said, no, me, neither my sons nor my grandsons will not rule you. That is for God to do. What is he basically saying? What we should be saying today? Yes, God has called me to lead you. Yes, God has called me to direct you to him and to show you his laws and rules and principles that you are to operate by as a born-again believer. But I am not your ruler. I am none of that. Jesus said in Luke 22, when the disciples said, when you die, Jesus, which one of us would be in charge? Or who will be the greatest among us? He said, look here, sit down. He said, the kingdom of God doesn't operate that way. It is not like the Gentiles who bring in a ruler, all right, over them, a dictator, a Jezebel controlling narcissistic spirit. He says, not like that. He said, instead, in the kingdom of God, the greatest among you, the pastor, the preacher, the evangelist, the pope, whatever you call yourself, he says they are servant leaders. In other words, I sit and serve those who are supposed to be submitted to me. Jesus gave a perfect example, I think in Matthew 5, when he told the disciples, listen, I got to wash your crusty foot. The Creator is telling the creation, I am willing to bend down right now and wipe and clean your foot, which is a sign of the greatest humility. That's like the owner of this place right now. I say, Howard, take those shoes right off, okay? Because I won't show you how humble I am and what you should be like, because it was a demonstration to the disciples. This is how I expect for you to be. If I, who created everything, is doing this, this is what I require of you. Do you see this today on an average? No, you don't.
That's what I wanted to ask you. How do we get back to this? Because things have changed significantly in our communities. The idea of humility has gone out the door entirely. Right.
Completely.
Right? There has been a perpetuation of self. Me, baby, I did this.
Right.
If it wasn't for me, Jesus wouldn't show up for you.
Right.
My God, send $100.
Right.
My God, right now, you want me to pray for you?
Right.
Send the $500. Mm-hmm. Jesus got into your prayer.
Right.
And then you get this holy war. These are the things that people run from. There is a shift in our society. Mm-hmm. People are moving away from the church mm-hmm. entirely.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
the traditional structured right. four walls, and beyond the four walls, even people who profess, because there's more scrutiny when you make this sort of a profession that you are a Christian. So now people looking at you up and down, up and down, up and down. And when they see even an inkling, mm-hmm. a little piece of inconsistency with what their belief is, whether it be skewed or not, they say, oh my God, these people, y'all ain't real. Mm-hmm. These pastors ain't real. This ain't there. And so there is a perpetuation again
right.
of self, of carnality, of this kind of running into your own thing, of what Aleister Crowley says, do as thou wilt. Mm-hmm. As opposed to being able to do right. what you're called to do. Right. I want to talk more about this, Kevin. Let me take this quick commercial break. Ladies and gentlemen, the lines are wide open. If you want to be a part of the conversation, please do. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, anywhere from the Family Violence, 2425, 242-300-5720, or hit me up on the text, 422-4796. We're sitting with Kevin L.A. Ewing talking to us about inconsistencies that we're seeing in our faith and how we get back to where we call to be. We're going to take this quick commercial break and be right back after this.
Foundation. The Foundation.
The Foundation. We'll be back right after this.
The Foundation. The Foundation. The Foundation.
It's Whopper Wednesday every Wednesday at Burger King Nassau. Make your Wednesday sizzle and sink your teeth into a flame-grilled beef patty topped with tomatoes, fresh-cut lettuce, mayo, pickles, ketchup, and sliced onions, all on a toasted sesame seed bun with fries for only $5.95, including VAT. This Whopper Wednesday, grab a friend and head down to your favorite BK Nassau location for a flame-grilled Whopper made your way with crisp fries for only $5.95. Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
It's back to school season again. Send your kids off with everything they need, from books, uniforms, to school supplies, all with a Fidelity personal loan. Apply today for a chance to win amazing back to school prizes. Call 823-4374.
Guardian Radio and the Foundation are on the move.
Bahamas, this one's for you.
SBT. Small Business Thursdays. Every Thursday, the Foundation with Howard Grant will highlight small businesses throughout the country, far and wide. Your products, services, prices, and personality. We want to hear it all. Get your 30 or 60 second advertisement heard on air at a fraction of the cost. We here at the Foundation understand the times and don't want you to be left behind. With Guardian Radio, you reach your specific demographic and it is unmatched.
We reach thousands daily.
Get your products off the shelf and your services in their hearts. Small Business Thursdays with the Foundation, only on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. For more information, call 302-2300 or the Help Me Howard line at 827-0111. SBT. Small Business Thursdays. Get your business moving today.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, quality.
Foundation. The Foundation. The Foundation. The Foundation. The Foundation.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM radio, Howard Grant and your company, The Foundation, on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. It is a round table discussion, as a panel discussion, that we go back and forth and talk about these things. I know that you always kind of eager to talk about what's happening from a social standpoint, i.e. politics. What you need to do is stop. We normally take an avenue here on The Foundation to talk about both the tangible and the intangible. And the reason why we've taken this sort of a course, because I believe that the whole man cannot exist only with an external superficial lifestyle. I believe that we have to look at some things internally. Now, I'm not going to fight you. If this is not your faith, your belief, hey, I'm here to do what I believe. This is what my belief is, and I believe that this is the foundation of our community. And so I'd like to have these kind of a conversation with you. And if you have anything contrary, the lines are wide open. I want you to be able to give us a call. 323-6232-325-4316, 325-4259, anywhere from the family of islands, 242-300-5720. Or you can hit me up on the text, 422-4796. The lines are wide open if you want to have a conversation with us. We're talking with none other than Kevin L.A. Ewing. And really being able to break down some things as it relates to this diminished thinking, this concept of quote-unquote belief, and persons being able to looking for results, people not necessarily seeing results. Kevin, when you started off, you started to talk about this, and this is a taboo thing. Mm-hmm. But we can slip into the taboo today, right? A lot of people seek results when they go off to, because there's a contingent of people who say they go to Haiti every year.
Mm-hmm.
Talk
fully
to me. Let's
just be fully aware of it.
Okay, so there's a contingent of people who do this. Mm-hmm. There are a contingent of people who go and look for Santa Maria. There's a contingent of people who commit themselves to other forms of whatever this is, this worship, to be able to see actual change in their life. Mm-hmm. But these are the people who came from faith. Mm-hmm. These are the people who now dabbling in darkness, who mm-hmm. came from, are rooted and grounded in this concept and idea of faith. Mm-hmm. What is causing people to leave, mm-hmm. to leave this unadulterated word that existed before you and I, mm-hmm. that existed, the word that existed in 1 John that says, I am the word, mm-hmm. from the foundation of the earth. Mm-hmm. What is causing people now to move away from it? Talk to me about it.
But just to clarify, I don't think people are walking away from faith. What they are walking away from is what the Bible describes as a form of godliness. See, now that all of the gymnastics and the jumping around and all of that other stuff to make you look holy is done and there's no results, then like with anybody else, you get tired and you move on. Can I tell you, because I'm quite familiar with them, the people that go to these places seeking spiritual help from a demonic perspective, can I tell you more than half of them are so-called Christians? I just want to make that clear and put that out there. I have sat with hundreds of people who would have admitted to me, Christians, who've put their hand to obey voodoo, witchcraft, and all of this stuff. Now, how did they end up coming to me to divulging this stuff to me? Because this is what I preach about. This is what I talk about. This side of stuff that people don't talk about. So when I tell them the symptoms and the generational curses that will be erupting from such performances and the consequences it will have on their future generation, hey, I want to talk to this guy now because I never knew this part of it. But why are they here? Okay, let's go back to that. If we were preaching the gospel, your Bible says to you, Howard, God's word cannot return unto him void, right? Mm-hmm. Your Bible says he's placed his word above his name. Mm-hmm. Your Bible says that heaven and earth shall pass away, but not one tittle, not one speck of his word shall not come to pass. So, therefore, if year after year I'm sitting in this place, God is getting ready to do this. God is getting ready. I'm 10 years in. I've lost my home. Mm-hmm. I'm divorced. Mm-hmm. You're a single mother. Mm-hmm. You got to compromise yourself to make ends meet. Mm-hmm. But this person up here is telling you God is getting ready to do, and there you're covering, and you got to pay tithe, and you got to give offering. And once you sow a seed, God is going to meet your need. You are now 15 years in, okay? You will
sow a seed every year.
Every year. Nothing is happening to you.
Every year.
But guess why it's not happening? It is equivalent to you right now, whatever type of car you have. Let's say you have a Honda and your car breaks down, and I say, Howard, I could help you now. Now, what I got here may not be a manual for your Honda, but it's a manual for a GE fridge. Now, you take this manual now, and you could use this to fix your car. That's exactly what is happening when you exchange the promises of God for seed, when you call a mere mortal you're covering, all of this nonsense and foolery that you engage in. That means you're living a form of godliness. You're not following the right rules. You're not doing that. So as a result of that, you're committed to a system that is anti-God. But because you're in a four wall that says God, you believe you're doing the right thing. Now, mind you, the pastor isn't fully responsible because like I started out, you have an obligation
to study,
to show yourself approved. The problem that, well, I wouldn't say the problem that I have, the problem that they have when they come to me, well, Kevin, you're getting down too hard on the pastors. Oh, why don't you tell him that when he's taking your seed? Why don't you tell him that when you go to him for help and he tells you the church is not a bank? Why don't you tell him that when COVID came around and you lost your job and you could do nothing for
and
yourself?
And ask the church for help, you ask
and,
the church.
Right, and you had to compromise and sleep with people to get money to put food on your table for your children.
You can cost
where
me
was
choke.
Your covering then?
You can cost me choke. I can't take this.
So to me, until we get raw and real and put it out there, everybody hiding behind church walls. We can hide behind there because the deal is you're supposed to go out into the world and preach the gospel, not hide in the church. So for me, I have no fear as it relates to these things because I grew up in such an environment. I know, and that's why I left. This year, I make 11 years, Howard. I think I said this on the last show. 11 years, I don't pay no tithe. 11 years, I don't have this so-called spiritual voodoo covering foolishness. None of it. I have prospered more in my 11 years. I told you this before, to the extent that myself and my wife were able to retire from our jobs to go into full-time ministry, not asking for no seeds and none of this garbage. Guess how we became successful in what we do? Following the scriptures. The Bible is unequivocally clear. Deuteronomy 28 verses 1 to 3. If you should hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God and observe to do all his commandments, I will elevate you. That's the first sign. Then this blessing shall come upon you and overtake. Overtake means to go ahead generationally and overtake you. You should be blessing the field, blessing your stars, blessing your body. Verse 80 says, after all of these blessings, guess what? Then I'm going to command another set of blessings on you. He dropped the verse 12. He says how you can open up heaven and pour you down more blessing. But why are you doing this? Because I sow a seed? No. Because I have a covering? No. Because of any of that foolery? No. Why are you doing this to me, God? Because you followed my rules. I worked.
Yeah, you get me. You get me happy today.
Listen, I worked to. I retired from FedEx. Was there for 32 years. Guess why they kept me? You think they kept me because I looked nice? You think they kept me because I was muscly? No, they kept me because I adhered to the policy. I adhered, just like anyone on the job right now. You ain't there because you're nice looking. You are there because you are following the policy and the rules. So let's go back to the original question. Why are you sitting in this place year after year after year under a fantasy? And as simple as a call, you don't know how to pray for it or ask God to remove it. So make me understand. So if I'm wrong, how is it that the guy who is wrong, this guy who have over 500,000 people in total on his social media following him, this guy who have the entire world calling him to come preach on their pulpits, Nigeria and Europe, England, the Caribbean, the USA, if he is so wrong, why are they not calling you? If he is so wrong, why all of these testimonies as a result of his teaching where he's always pointing them back to God? So let's weigh the fruit. Kevin is this, Kevin is that. He talking about the tithe. He wrong. Okay, you taking tithe from us. Be more broke than Ten Commandments. So make me understand. That's all I'm saying. You know, show me fruit. We can argue all day. Show me fruit. Show me your fruit and I can show you my fruit.
Kevin, you know, this is a wild thing because a lot of persons are out there. They are texting me saying, how this is so refreshing. And what's refreshing is that young people, especially with the access to information around the world, you got your social media, you got these things. People are looking at their personal position. And more people are gravitating towards motivational speakers, self-help gurus. They're going to seminars. They're doing all these things, whatever it takes to find development within themselves, to be able to do financial literacy, all these things. People are educating themselves away from the church, away from religion, away from faith, away from all these things. But you're saying to me that the principles still exist in the Word of God. Mm-hmm. Kevin, let me see if I can take this telephone call. Guys, the lines are wide open. Telephone caller on the line. Go ahead. That's a caller on the line. Caller, go ahead. Hey.
How are you, my brother? And good afternoon to your guest.
Good afternoon, sir. Good, man. What's happening?
I said, let me take a chance and call in. With the risk.
Hold on. You say take a chance. It's too much. Go ahead.
Of the risk of this public often looks at information that is different from the information that consistently for hundreds of years has been perpetuated to them as being anti whatever they believe. Mm-hmm. I want to first thank the clarity and clairvoyance of your guest in speaking the truth about religion, the truth about faith and Christianity as we see it in our country. And I think it is important and continues to be important for a person for persons in this country to dive into their Bible and understand for themselves what they should be doing if the faith that they hold on to is Christianity. Do not be blindly led. Listen, learn, seek the truth for yourself. Now, again, the soundness of which the gentleman is speaking is just looking at what the doctrine says and then following. Because, again, I was met along my journey with a person who was a pastor who told me that if I even wanted to visit another church, I would have to seek his permission so he could release me to visit another church.
That's crazy.
Being of the same Christian faith, but that power that he has apparently would not permit me to do so without him releasing me. And I started to get very nervous because it sounded like witchcraft to me. So, needless to say, that was a space that I no longer felt comfortable in. But again, I just wanted to say that we shouldn't be wary of persons who have questions about faith. we should invite them to ask questions.
Yeah.
But I find that in our society, if you ask questions about faith, you are often told that it is against the faith, that you are doing something wrong, that you should not question God. You're not questioning God. You're questioning the person who claims to be the guy between you and your God.
Right, right.
And you have a right to question that person because that's the man.
Right.
That's only a man. And you can question a man. Your questioning to God should come on your knees. Your questioning to God should come when you sit in a quiet, small place and you meditate to him. That's what you're questioning. But you can question the man who's telling you that thus saith the Lord to him.
I appreciate your telephone call, my brother. I appreciate the insight and taking that chance. But I want to talk like this because a lot of young people text me since you've been on the show. You know, they would say, Howard, this is not Zedness. That's the first thing they tell me. I would say Zedness. You're talking about Jesus all day. But it's really about faith, foundation, and realignment for me, right? And being able to get to a better place for growth and development, because I see this as, what is the next generation going to do? If we continue to be able to spiral down this dark hole, then there's no hope for tomorrow. How do we now be able to reinstitute some sense of understanding that we have to get back to a better space? And it doesn't have to be, when I want to say it like this, it doesn't have to be our grandmother's God. And what I mean by that is that Grammy taught us more religion than faith. Grammy taught us get up and go to church. And church at the time did not necessarily teach us the faith. When I learned, I had to do that study and to show myself approval. Mm-hmm. The studies that I did, I had to do that for myself. There are young people that are listening right now who are, they have children. They are some single mothers, some undecided whether in their position at work or what they're going to be doing with their life. And they have no one to speak to. They use social media as an outlet. They try to find out more information. I see more people preaching on social media. This is wild, right? Mm-hmm. When I say preaching, they won't be able to grab quotes that they hear from all over the place and use this as a principle for their life. Not everyone has rejected, for the most part, the foundational word of God. Mm-hmm. They try to be able to view this through one lens or another and say, well, this wasn't really the word of God. This has been manipulated by man. Why do we use this? And so it is just, it's all over the place.
Right.
I want you to be able to speak to this, to those persons who may be wayward, who are drifting and really looking for an anchor. But because of this sort of religion that says, come into me and I will lead you to Jesus.
Right.
Because of this religion, people reject that. I tell you, that's what it is, you know.
No, I know.
That's what it is. People come to talk to me,
right?
And then I'll talk to Jesus,
yeah.
And you come back to me.
Right. Absolute nonsense. I'm talking foolery. But just to tap on the gentleman who just spoke, and I've heard what he has said on many occasions, that certain churches, if a person decides to visit another church, not go to stay, but just to visit, they have to get clearance as if this is some air traffic controller situation going on. Get clearance in order for them to go and have to go through some kind of board and foolishness, right? And again, to me, this is utter obeah voodoo witchcraft, right? Here is why. Because, first of all...
Oh, it's 1 o'clock.
It is?
Time going so quick like this? Listen, sorry, but it's
no problem.
It's my bad. Ladies and gentlemen, let me just drift right through the time. I'm so sorry I didn't even look at the watch. We're going to take this quick commercial break, get the news, and be right back after this. I'm so sorry. I'm
no
so
problem. Sorry. No problem, man.
The Foundation.
The Foundation. We'll be back right after this.
At Popeyes, get the chicken sandwich you love,
but make it blackened.
Marinated in Popeyes blackened seasoning, that is.
Our new juicy filet is fried to perfection
without the breading, served on a toasted brioche bun.
Try it today as a combo or a la carte. Don't forget to choose your level of spice today at any one of our three locations.
Love that chicken from Popeyes.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Nassau, Bahamas.
Foundation. Foundation.
The Foundation.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM Radio, Howard Grant in your company, The Foundation. On this beautiful Wednesday afternoon, a roundtable panel discussion, being able to get down to some things and talking real life stuff. We're talking about the church today, and not necessarily are we talking about the church today, but we're talking about faith, talking about realignment, readjustment, and talking about the four walls and how there is, in my view, a mass exodus. A great deal of young persons are moving away from the church. They're finding themselves, and I say young persons, persons between the age of 25 and maybe 37, maybe even 40, they're finding themselves outside of the four walls, outside of the conditioning, outside of what Grammy them used to say, child, you got to go to church. And now asking themselves questions like, what I get to church for? I've never seen any fruit from church. Mommy them been broke their whole life. They've been telling me to go to church. Daddy been broke. Mommy and daddy never get married. They live shack up for years, so forth and so on. These are the serious questions that young people are asking themselves as they try to make the life decisions to find themselves in a good position for growth and development. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with none other than Kevin L.A. Ewing today. And he's talking to us about his book, Prayers That Work, but really talking about the church. I know a lot of persons are you know, you get, you know, up in arms. Oh my God, is this, are you going to talk about this mass exodus from the church now? Are you saying to everyone, leave the church? That's not what we're saying. And I don't believe that this is what Kevin is saying.
No.
But there should be an assessment. I got a text just now. I want to be able to read that quickly. This text is a lot of persons are actually listening in and really being able to say these things to us. But there are persons who are concerned with this. He says, people begin to think because religion and the church was not built for thinking people. Religion and the church was not built for thinking people. So when you start to talk about this kind of a critical thinking and really being able to assess yourself, to evaluate your life, to evaluate the fact that most of us black and brown people that grow up in this environment, majority of us black, that there is an idea that we're going to always be broke and poor. There are a lot of people who have gravitated to the idea that for me to get out of this proverbial hole of brokenness and poorness, I got to teach something. Don't talk to me, Kevin. I want to just be very clear about this. There are people who educate themselves and still prepare themselves subconsciously. Now, this ain't no conscious pronounced thing. Subconsciously prepare their minds to teach. And when they accept that first little something, they say, well, you know, ain't nothing happening, you know, like this eastern sky ain't cracked.
No.
Jesus ain't come down, ain't nothing happened, my leg ain't fall off. I should be all right. Somebody was thiefing for years. They ain't never get nothing. And their children could go off to school. I might as well thief something. This is an idea that exists in our society. That they have now put this kind of an all for me concept at the forefront rather than leading by faith. Talk to me about it.
Well, let me start off by saying that, let me just make some clarifications here. I said to the listening audience that I left the four walls this year, make 11 years ago. In fact, this month, September, I left the four walls. I never left the body of Christ. I'm a part of the body of Christ. I'm a believer of the Lord Jesus Christ. What I am saying, though, is that after all of my years of being in church, after garnering all the information, education that I needed from my various pastors and leaders, it was time for me to now to make practical the Great Commission, and that is to go ye into the world and preach the gospel. But before I left, I realized that, especially in my latter years, I've seen a lot of promises that was made to people. I've seen people who died waiting on healing, who died, who I've seen prophets and prophetess prophesy over that God is going to make them wealthy and they're going to be the first generation of millionaires to their bloodline and all this garbage I've been hearing. And why I call it garbage is because none of it was, there was no biblical rule or principle attached to it. It was just a fantasy, right? For example, the Bible, I said this last time, the Bible says that he that giveth to the poor shall not lack. Now, if someone said to me, young man, come here. God just spoke to me. God says, because of your kindness and your giving all the time, God says, you will never lack. I know that scripture. So I run in with that. But if somebody says, come here, you, because you just sowed that seed, God just whispered in my ears just now, I heard the Holy Spirit very much, and he said that from this day forward, you will never see a broke day. And thanks God voice for you. So here's what I'm saying.
You can tell
I'm not telling anybody to leave a church or to don't be under a pastor. I want to be extremely and unequivocally clear what I'm saying.
Because they can call me and cuss me.
Of course they will, right?
Okay, good.
So let me be clear. Here is what I'm saying. I told you the premises and where I left because I've been church all my life, okay? And as a result of me gaining what I was supposed to get, God said it's time to leave now. What I'm saying to them, find a place that preaches the word of God, not worshiping a person. Find a place where they can reference scripture after scripture and insist that you practice this scripture. Not when you hear somebody bury something in your yard, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. And after that, you go to your fornicating life, lying life, your teeth in life, and then expect God to only pop up when you feel someone wicked witch on you. So let's talk sense here. Now, why am I saying this? Let me come back now. Why am I saying this, right? First of all, the essence of who we are, Howard, we are spirits. And the purpose of the church is to feed us spiritually, okay? This isn't some entertainment setup. And it kind of reminded me when I was going through, and I know I probably didn't tell, people who watch me would know my story. I started out where I had some people I was involved with who was working tons of sorcery on me, and I was at the brink of losing my mind, on the brink of committing suicide, all of these things. And I went to a church for help. I didn't go to mechanic. I didn't go to the carpenter. I didn't go to the mason. I went to the place which offers spiritual help. I went there. And when I went there and I told them about this experience I was having, I wasn't crazy. I wasn't psycho, quite fine. I told them I would feel this presence come in the room. I'd feel my bed shaking. I would hear my name being called. I'm the only person living. I gave the full extent of my spiritual experience. I was told by a preacher, a man of God.
With a D.
Yes, with a D. He said to me, Kevin, I think you're not getting enough sleep. Or maybe, you
this
know.
This is bananas,
yeah,
Kevin.
Yeah, this is what the preacher told me. And he wasn't the only one that told me this. And this is what got me going. I say, no. This cannot be. This cannot be. The place where I came for spiritual help, for someone to say, Kevin, while I may not have experienced that before, let me pray. Even if I don't know what to do, let me just pray because I believe in an invisible God and an invisible devil and an invisible angel and invisible demons. So I got to see firsthand that these dudes, not all of them, don't practice what they preach or don't believe what they preach. So with that said, I'm telling the young people out there, and I know why you would have left because you've seen no fruit. I know why you'd have left. You watch your Grammy get riddled with cancer. Okay? And everybody saying they praying for her and nobody comes by. Nobody really exercises the scriptures. I'm saying to you, find a church or read that Bible for yourself and edify yourself spiritually because now you will have some negotiating power. So when this person up on the pulpit talking trash, pack your stuff and leave. I'm not going to listen to this poison up
here. But
that's
going to require you studying.
That's what I'm telling them now. The prerequisite is you study the word. And if you see this isn't lining up with the word, you don't fall in love with this poison. Oh, this is my pastor. This is my brother Kevin. This is my pastor Kevin. No. Because when judgment day come home, boy, I ain't your attorney. I can't represent you before God. Every man have to give an account to God according to Romans 14:12. So I'm telling them, for you to change that situation with that boyfriend, girlfriend, ex-husband, ex-wife, wife, husband, promotion on the job, the sorcery in your life, all of these bad stuff you got going on, these addictions and vices, if you truly want change, it's going to begin from a spiritual perspective. Why? Because the spirit world, Howard, is the parent world to our physical world. If you want to change anything in your life, the tweaking, the adjustment, the augmentation must take place spiritually. As a result of that, because the spiritual world is where everything is conceived, manufactured, and produced, earth now becomes the mass distribution center. All through the Bible, you will see this.
Of the product that was produced.
Right. Just like when Abraham was frustrated with God in Genesis 15. He says, my God, you're coming to me another time, making me this round of promises. 20 years since you did this. God says, okay, let's make a sacrifice, set up this altar. And God took him in the spirit and showed him the future. This is what's going to become of you. You're going to become the father of the Hebrew people. they will be one day joined into Egyptian bondage. And after this time of Egyptian bondage, I will release them and they will come out of Egyptian bondage with a mighty hand. And God showed him from where all of this will end while he's living, even begin to show him in the future when he's dead and gone. So it tells me that world is where everything originates. Okay? Set waiting to be or pending for this earth here. So this is why for me, I just become so confused when I would hear a pastor say, God getting ready to do this, and Jesus said this, and I hear the Holy Spirit says, oh, I feel this in my spirit, and blah, blah, blah. And then a member or someone come in there and say, sir, I know what happened, but my leg just swelling up on me. And I keep having these dreams, and I feel my bed shaking. I feel, ah, that's the devil trying to trick you, my child. Like, they dismiss. Like all of a sudden, there's not a dark world. There's not a devil anymore. The only time the devil shows up in these people's lives is when they lose their key. That's the devil.
My God.
But it's not the devil when I tell you these strange things are happening to me. So to me, that right there is empirical, preponderance, forensic, all evidence that this is a poison you shouldn't be listening to. I need someone who studied the scriptures. I need someone who know the word of God. I need someone who said to me, Kevin, now when I pray, I can pray the word of God over your life. My fancy prayer can't get you through. It's the promises made in this Bible that's going to get you through. Kevin, you are my child, and this is what the Bible says about those who are children of the righteous. Proverbs 11 verse 21b, and it says that the seed of the righteous shall be delivered. So no matter how no good your child is, if I am the righteous, God has promised me that my child who's a seed, who probably don't worship God, but because of me being the righteous, one of the benefits of the righteous, that real God got him covered, not no pastor. Where was the pastor when they gunned my boy head and shoot his head off? Where was the covering then? And again, don't get me wrong. I ain't dismissing no pastor. I ain't dismissing them. Know your role. Your role is to teach me the scriptures. Your role is to direct me to Jesus, not from my bank account to yours, not to make you bigger than what you are. The Bible says, Romans 12 and 3, let no man inflate himself or to believe he's greater than who he is.
Yes.
Know your role, sir. Know your role, ma'am. You could, because at the end of the day, when the hard times come, when the difficulties and the challenges of life and the loss of loved ones come, where was your covering? And why couldn't your covering cover you when COVID came?
It's heavy what you're saying. Beyond COVID, there seems to be an increase in crime in the city. And we don't see whether it's a small congregation, mm-hmm. or the wider body of Christ show up for these people in their lives. Mm-hmm. So where is your covering? We're having a good conversation. Guys, the lines are wide open. Be a part of it. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. Anywhere from the family violence, 242-300-5720, or hit me up, 422-4796. Let me take this telephone call. Caller, you on the line with us live. Go ahead. Go ahead, caller. Is that a caller? No? He left? Guys, the lines are wide open. Let me read a few of these texts. This is Howard. You have a real teacher, and if people would listen to him dissect the word of God, they would be better off. Kevin, only confirm what I got from the word of God, especially giving to the poor. I stopped living from paycheck to paycheck by following this commandment. Right? This is my big brother from Freeport introduced me to Mr. Ewing several years ago. And listen, this is a strong text that's actually coming through. It says, hi, Howard. You're a nice guy, and I like your commentary. Everyone want us to believe that God is in their favor when they shout out God. But your guess is superstitious. Sorcerous, believing, delusional persons were all of his beliefs are only in his head and not reality for the most people. Stop bringing these brainwashing. this is what these people tell you.
I hate them.
Right?
I love it.
Right? Stop bringing these brainwashing people on and trying to convert people.
You should bring them on. Probably give us a better insight.
That's probably the first time they text.
Right.
These conversations provoke people
to... I love it.
Yeah, because if you're not really for this, you turn it off.
Simple.
Right?
Simple.
There's a lot of people who turn it off, but there are some people who hate to listen,
yeah.
But they are compelled to listen. Yeah. just so they could refute. And the lines are wide open for you. I want you to be able to be a part of the conversation. Let me take a telephone call. Caller on the line with us live. Go ahead.
Hey, good day to everyone.
Hey, how you doing, my brother?
Yeah, let me just say to you guys, I understand where you're coming from. I have a question. It seemed to me, do you believe in demons and devil for us?
Well, I believe in the Bible. The Bible speaks about demons and devils. The Bible said that hell was made for the devil and his demons. So as long as the Bible says so, I am in full compliance with it.
For me, that's the correct answer. Mm-hmm. So the question is to me, it seemed to me today the devil is winning the battle, not for the individual now, such as yourself mm-hmm. and some others, but the devil seemed to generally be winning the war. You know, there was a time in the Bible where it says that the devil was bound and loose and all that. So I just want you to elaborate a little bit on that for me. All right, thanks.
Okay. Thank you, my brother. I appreciate your telephone call.
All right, in regards of the devil winning the battle, I think he might win wars, but the overall battle will be won by Christ. That's mm-hmm. the best way I can put it there. Secondly, let's go back at what the Bible says. The Bible says that through knowledge, and this is the key, in Christianity, through knowledge shall the just be delivered. Deliverance doesn't come through screaming, shouting. That's like extreme deliverance. True deliverance is garnering the information, which is the word of God, and making that information applicable. Let me give you an example of it. I'll give you two. The first one, I'm going to give you the law of destruction and how whether we apply this law knowingly or unknowingly, it will not only affect us, but affect our children. Hosea 4:6. Hosea 4:6 says, my people, so God is speaking about the believers now, my people perish or they're being destroyed. Why? Is it because they don't have a college degree? No. Is it because they didn't come from the right side of the track? No. He says they're being destroyed. Why? Because they lack knowledge. Now, the knowledge he's referring to here is what I've been saying, the laws, the rules, the principles of Scripture. Watch what he says next. He says, because you've rejected, because it sounds as if rejection, I was offered this knowledge before. Because you've rejected knowledge, I've not only rejected you, but rejected you from being priests. Goes down a little more, and I will dismiss or even reject your children. So the scripture is telling me that there are people, men and women so-called of God, that will hear exactly what I'm saying right now, Howard, and give them line upon line, scripture upon scripture, and Kevin ending it by saying, this is not my opinion. This have zero to do with me. This is you and the scriptures. Now, whether you like or dislike, it got nothing to do with me. I'm just a delivery boy. And they'll say, oh, no, no, no. But why are they saying that? Because their church policies supersede the laws of God. Isaiah 5:13. Isaiah says, my people are gone into captivity. He's speaking about spiritual captivity. And it says why. Why? Because they lack knowledge. So you see the same theme here, the same thread here. The people, it isn't so much that the devil is winning, you know. It is people who fail to read the Bible, people who put all their trust in people like myself, pastors and so on. I'm not asking you to trust me. Trust the word of God. And just like the texter said just now, Kevin, showing you what the Bible say. At the end of the day, when we stand before God, you can't say, Kevin told me to do something contrary. I read it into your hearing. You read it. It is up to you now to believe it. So in all scenarios, the ultimate destruction on mankind isn't because Satan is smarter or have more angels or whatever than God. It is because the people of God who's been equipped with the scriptures has followed their wayward leaders, not all of them, and put the Bible aside. And now you take our re-edited version. And now this will now become your rules and your laws.
The New Bohemian Version. Let's take the next telephone call. Call on the line with us live. Go ahead.
Mr. Grant.
Hey, how you doing?
How are you doing, sir?
I'm good, man. What's happening?
This gentleman, Kevin, he is from Grand Bahama.
Yes, sir.
He has a church in Grand Bahama?
No, I don't have a church. I have everything that I've done social media-wise.
Okay, you're a teacher. You're
yes,
the gentleman that be on the...
Radio.
The radio and on the thing on the...
The Facebook,
the,
YouTube.
Phone thing?
The phone thing, all of that. Yes, that's me.
Okay, you're the gentleman then.
Yes, sir.
But let me ask you something about tithing.
Uh-huh. I love it.
Is tithing still... I know tithing was in the Old Testament.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Now they say we're living in a new decision.
Yes.
But they don't. They still want to bring tithing in this. They want to drop everything else.
Right.
But they still want to bring tidings.
Right.
Tell me something on tiding.
I've got a lot to tell you on tiding.
Thank you, brother. Thank you for your call.
Okay. First of all, tiding, let's go back to the beginning because everybody takes it back here, especially those who continue to mislead people in this area. Tiding is not for the New Testament church. Let me be extremely clear on that. And again, this is not my opinion. I'm about to give you biblical rules on this. Tiding was a covenant, with the part of the Levitical covenant that Isaiah 33 verses 22 to 23 clearly says. God says, if you are able to break my covenant with night and day, then you are able to break the David and the Levitical covenant, which cannot happen. So a part of this covenant was, let's go back to Abraham and Melchizedek, where Abraham volunteered a tenth, that's what the tithe is, a tenth of his spoil after defeating those kings to Melchizedek, voluntary. In Genesis 28, we see another voluntary act by Jacob, where God showed him a dream as to what was going to happen in his future and blah, blah, blah. He says, well, God, if you do this for me, I will give you a tenth. So people like to say, well, tithing was all the way back from then, but the tithing was not a law. In Numbers chapter 18, very clear. Tithing became a law. Now, why is this? God is getting ready to transition his people, the Hebrew people, into the promised land, which back then would have been Canaan, which today is Israel. And God is now laying down a new set of rules, covenant again, particularly as it relates to the economical state going forward of Israel. And he said to them, out of all of the 12 tribes, I have chosen the Levi tribe to be my hands and feet in the earth. And as a result of them working for me, they will own no land in the promised land, period. Now watch the tithing law coming in now. And what I will do to compensate them, I will have the 11 cities give a tenth to Levi, particularly the Levitical priests, because not no any ordinary Levi person could take it. God says, now when you go in, this will happen, right? Okay, good. Watch this. There are so many rules governing the tithe, particularly the Levitical priests. For example, the Levitical priest could not minister to God over the age of 50. The Levitical priest, part of his ordination, all of his head, and he had to been shave off his body. Everybody put their hand on him. This is how he had to be consecrated, blah, blah, blah. The Levitical priest, because, you know, tithing was a seven-year system. And, you know, the last year, the seven-year, if anyone amongst themselves owe each other, he had to write that bill off. You know all of this, right? Do you also know, right, the year of Jubilee. Then you also know a part of the tithing law, I think it's in Deuteronomy 13 or 14, 14 somewhere, but they're 26 somewhere. A part of that, for example, let's say, because they were designated places in Canaan or Israel for them to take the tithe to the Levitical priest or to the wherever. Mm-hmm. And he says, if it's too heavy for you to carry or it's too much, he says, then sell your tithe. And tithing sells me. Sell your fruit, your produce, your livestock.
Yeah, because the tithing was the money.
Right. Then he says, take it and purchase whatever you want and consume it, including strong drinks.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that they mean strong Kool-Aid.
No.
Right. So when I look at all of these things, right? So God come back now in Numbers 18, verses 21 and 24. Listen very clearly. The law now, this isn't voluntary. This is the law. He says, the tithe I've given to Levi. Clear. Very clear. Guess what? He comes back in the New Testament and make it unequivocally clear. So in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 5, he said, O you sons of Levi. He says, who are commanded by law.
Which is the priests.
This is the priests.
Okay.
To receive tithe of their brethren, which would have been the 11 sin tribe, right? I had a pastor come to me and says, you are wrong because we, the New Testament believers, are royal priesthood. So I say, how am I wrong? Because I think there's a massive difference between a royal priesthood and a Levitical priesthood. So what are you saying to me? Because he thinks I'm a regular person who don't read my Bible like he insists his members don't do, right? So I'm saying, well, the commandment was for the Levitical priest. So where the royal priesthood come in this? So therefore, based on in the New Old Testament, which is supported by the New Testament, the only group of people on this planet that have a right to demand tithe is the tribe of Levi. The only group of people who are commanded by law to give it to them is all of the 11 sister tribes. Now, Howard, if you are from the tribe of Levi and you are a Levitical priest and I am from the tribe of Reuben, I am commanded by law
to give
you a tenth of my earnings. Mm-hmm. And not every time I come to your church. Because if you go according to the seven-year system, I think the first and the third year, the people who got the tithe, who got it, the 11 tribune, they eat it. They don't even give it to Levi. And I think the third and the sixth year, they bring it to Levi, and then they share it amongst the orphan, the widow, watch this, and the stranger, which we know to be the aliens. And who are these? People who don't even believe in your God. Some rasta walk in the church right now, they won't put him out of the church. Mm-hmm. When God says a part of the tithe is for them. So you see where the tithe was like a commonwealth. Everybody benefit. Do you see that happening with the tithe today?
No.
Do you see people being prosperous?
Well, that's a heavy question you ask, because what do you see happening with the tithe today?
Well, let me tell you what should be happening.
People why should I give my tithe to the pastor? And you're then inundated by so much information that come from America about what these pastors are doing with your money in the multi mega, mega, mega churches, and they buying football fields, churches, properties, and doing all these things like that with the tithe.
Right.
Right? And then you look in their immediate vicinity.
Right.
And these people poor. I mean, sleeping on the church. I watch a couple of YouTube things. People sleeping on the church step, and they spraying them with water. Get away from here.
Right.
This is what's happening.
Right.
Right? And whilst you saying that God can curse you, you lose your covering.
Lies.
You ain't gonna get this, you ain't gonna get that unless you give your tithe.
Lies. Well, guess what? So they bring Malachi. They say, Malachi, you're a curse with a curse. We talked about this last time.
Mm-hmm.
And so on. And listen with the tithe. That's why I always tell people, if you're smart, look for results. And this is how you know you're going to be following a false doctrine. Let's look at the results. So let's look at what the results of what the tithe should be. According to Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 to 10, it's a promise. If we bring the tithe and the offering into the storehouse, he says, so that it will be meat in my house. Because that was the rule. Have meat in my house, not cash. What he's saying here is that it should be pantries and storehouses. So when the poor and the widow and the stranger come, come here, you ain't got no food, come here. Have a sack of rice, have some corn, have some wheat, whatever. He says, so that they may be in my house. He says, if you do this, listen to the promise. If you do this, I will open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there won't be room enough, meaning that you're overflowing. He said, aside from that, I will rebuke the devourer. BPL can't turn off your light because I can always make sure you got money to pay it. The power, the water company, the phone company, the cable, whatever, they can't come take your car because I told you, if you pay this tithe and offering, I guarantee you the devourer will not consume your stuff. Now, for those of us that read, we look at the order of pre-text and post-text to get context. So who were they talking to in the scripture? Well, Malachi, the prophet, is speaking because God had sent him to now read the riot act to the Hebrew people, in particular the Levites, simply because they had stopped all of the ceremonial laws, inclusive of giving tithe. So in Malachi 2, verse 1 starts off, O ye priests, not O ye Howard, or not O ye Kevin, not O ye New Testament believers, O ye priests, Levitical those who come out about the Levitical priests.
Okay.
He said, this commandment is for you. And going forward, he's speaking strictly all the way into chapter 3 to the Levitical priests. You have stopped the ceremonial laws of tithe and offering. And he had a right. So people come back to me, Kevin, what about Matthew 23:23? When Jesus talked about tithe, I say yes. And in what context? And who was he speaking to? You need to get context. Who is he talking to? The people who were required by law to pay it, and the people who were required by law to receive it. So he told to the leaders of the church, he says, look here, you have paid your tithes and cumins and so on, meaning that that's what you're supposed to do, because you are the people who are supposed to do it. But you dismiss the heavier matters. So once people hear the word tithe, and based on what is indoctrinated into them, they run with it. Now let's use Kevin. Kevin stopped paying tithes in 2012, September, to this day. Oh, Kevin, what do you do? How is the pastor supposed to get paid? How's their condition? The same way Jesus them get it paid back then. So what did I do? I followed the New Testament principle, giving to the poor. You heard the lady just now with the text, because that is what I teach, giving to the poor. I preach hard on that. That is the major pillar to my ministry. Give to, because when you stand before God, God is going to ask you, what did you do for your fellow man? So for our ministry, and with any income we get coming in, we help people. And I told you the last time, we have systems in place, 6 months, 12 months, not going about bragging. No, we don't do that. We go and we help people who cannot do nothing for themselves. And I made the statement, the greatest investment you could make in your life is never to pay tithe, but to invest in the life of someone who could do absolutely nothing for themselves.
It's heavy, ladies and gentlemen. The lines are wide open. Please be a part of the conversation. Let me take this commercial break right here on the foundation and be right back after this.
Foundation. We'll be back right after this.
The foundation. I believe that every common loftier goal is within our reach. We believe in the essence of our identity, the richness of our history, and the boundless potential that lies within us. That's why our network is built by, owned by, and managed by us. Alive. Believe in Bahamians. Visit BeAlive.com to take advantage of our golden independence deals. Alive. Believe in best.
You've tried everything. ASUS with your mother's cousin's sister's auntie, and even hiding your money under your mattress. But is your money safe? Your Bahamian dollar deposit in a member bank or credit union is insured up to $50,000. If anything happens, your deposit up to the insured value will be returned to you thanks to Deposit Insurance. Visit Deposit Insurance Corporation at www.dic.bf.
Protection for your money guaranteed with DIC.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. Buy your local paper at Freeport Convenience Stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Want to reach your Grand Bahama customers? Then call Barefoot Marketing at 827-4578 or message them for ad rates via their Facebook page. Advertising opportunities now include classified ads too. Keep up with all the latest Grand Bahama news in the Nassau Guardian newspaper every Tuesday.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, quality.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
At Ron's Electric Motors, they repair and rewind all major brands of electric motors, including water pumps, generators and generators back end, welding machines, electric lifts, air compressors, battery chargers, and more. They're equipped to handle up to 850 kilowatts and to 450 horsepower motors. They're conveyed on the corner of Wolf and Clarence Roads and are open weekdays 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturdays till noon. They offer 24 hours emergency assistance. You can reach them at 242-60-
Get ready, Bahamas. The Nations League is upon us. This Saturday, September 9th at 6 p.m., our men's national team, the Junkanoo Boys, go head-to-head with Puerto Rico at the Thomas A. Robinson Stadium. Dive into the electric match day vibes. Secure your spot now. VIP tickets at $35 and drinks, finger foods, premium seating, and exclusive benefits. Adults for $20 and children under 13 at just $10. Purchase tickets online at bahamasfa.net or in person at the NSA box office. Rally behind the Junkanoo Boys and don't miss out on this soccer spectacle.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk.
The Foundation.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM Radio, Howard Grant in your company, the Foundation, on this absolutely gorgeous Wednesday afternoon here, speaking with none other than Kevin L.A. Ewing in these last few minutes before we get out of here. Let me see if I can take a telephone call. Call on the line with us live. Go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, Mr. Grant.
Good afternoon. How you doing?
Hi. Yeah, I just turned on my radio, And I think I heard, it seemed like the topic today is about tithes.
No. The topic's not about tithe, but tithing is a part of the conversation. We're talking with Kevin L.A. Ewing, who's just bringing up the principles in his book that he's actually put out there. His book's called Prayers That Work. So he's just talking about principles that work and how we should align ourselves with the principles in the Word of God.
Okay, I heard you. So, Ted, can I make my point?
Go ahead. Go ahead.
My point is this, right, and I hope you don't cut me off. It appears to me that lately you've been on this anti-tithing campaign. Forgive me if I'm wrong. Okay?
Me as an individual?
Yes.
No.
It seemed like you make a lot of comments about, you know, tithing and you prefer to give your money to the poor, et cetera, rather than be tithing to the church.
And there's something wrong with that?
No, I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with it.
Okay.
What I'm going to say is that is your personal view and I don't understand why you're trying to sort of like this, campaign against tithing.
Sir, this is biblical information that we're bringing to the forefront to realign the conditioning our forefathers have given us to say this is what needs to get done so they could pay for their Lexus. You need to stop it.
No, hold on. Can I finish, please? You need to be democratic. So
you don't have to be democratic, sir.
Okay, but my thing is this, right? That everybody has their own interpretation of what the Bible says. Yeah.
But that is wrong.
But here's the deal, though. I think I have seen you, I don't know if you remember, you visit Bahamas Harvest, and Bahamas Harvest has a policy of encouraging its members to tithe. So I don't understand what is your purpose here.
No, I don't understand why you called to say these particular things. Right. My responsibility in this particular, as the foundation, I thank you so much for your telephone call. My responsibility here, the foundation, the introduction of my show is a concept of realignment in the year of our Jubilee. That's all I do. All I want to do is show the contrast of where we are to where we used to be. The entire course of the conversation that we've taken with Mr. Kevin L.A. Ewing and anyone else who comes here is to contrast where we are and the rhythm of what exists now in comparison to where we were as a community prior to 1973. And I don't think that there's nothing different here. I'm not on a campaign to be anti-tithe. Can I say to you that I tithe? whether it was at Mount Tabor Church, whether it was Universal Household of Faith, and whether it's at Bahama Harvest where I visit now. So this is not a course that I take to be able to recondition anyone's mind. This is biblically sound information. And if you reject it, you're rejecting Howard.
Right.
And Howard's position, you're rejecting the word of God.
Yeah, simple.
Talk to me, Kevin.
And this is a grand example of what I'm saying to you, where people become offended, and rather than defending the word of God, they defend a church, a pastor, a building, a whatever. Everything that I have said was scripture. Explain to me. If a covenant was made with the Levites and the other 11 tribes, and they were commanded by law, don't take me into Abraham. That's like saying, right? Okay, let's say there was a law that says if you litter in the road, you get the death penalty in 1912, right? Mm-hmm. But now we're in 2023, that law doesn't agree anymore. But if for whatever reason you went and litter and you go before the court and you found guilty and you say, judge, I want the law from 1912. I want to be executed for doing it. So why are you referring to something? There was a law that was established, and the law was between the Hebrew people. You are not Hebrew. Your pastor is not a Levitical priest. You are not a part of Benjamin or Joseph or Reuben or Simeon. You are not that. So why are you trying to convince me? Why are you trying to perpetuate a lie? That's what it is. Furthermore, sir, if I am wrong, I haven't paid tithe in 11 years. And I can boldly say this because a tithe would be a tenth. And there's no way in the world I give a tenth or even less as it relates to giving to people that God lead me to. Okay? So why is it that, again, the person who isn't following your rules and your church policy, because I heard him call his church policy, whatever, the church, whatever, then why is God blessing this man? Shouldn't God punish me? Shouldn't I be under the curse? And those who I instruct to follow the scriptures and they're prospering. So should we all apologize to God? God, forgive us for you prospering us.
I want to say this, Kevin, before we go further, because sometimes you have to be able to give an example, personal, and I use a lot of my personal testimony and how I live and what's happening in my life. I'm not afraid to do that. I told you during the pandemic, I had an opportunity to be able to interview Bishop Lawrence Rowe. That was an opportunity. When I met him, he was outside cooking on the floor. I was skeptical before I met this man because there was a lot of social chatter about him and who he is and what this and so forth and so on. And so I said, let me go interview him for my show, Patio Politics. I went and I interviewed him. And I said, Lord, where this man is get this money to feed 600 people outside? I said, Jesus, God, where this man get this money from? Who giving this man money to feed these people? I sit in there and I never meet this man. I'm watching him. I sat there for 2 hours, more than 2 hours. And I watch people come in and out, not only for food, but people just out of nowhere coming and bringing envelopes. And I feel like that was strategic. Like, God, let me see that this is how this man is getting his money. People, God, Bishop, I just want to give you this. Boom. people who you never see in church. Gold mouth, Rasta boys, mm-hmm. all these things coming, giving mm-hmm. bishop money. Bam, mm-hmm. bishop, this for the people. Mm-hmm. Bishop, take the money and give it to the people. I said, Lord, I can't sit here.
Right.
I just take a couple of dollars out of the bank. Right. I had the money in the car. This wasn't for him. I don't know this man.
Right.
And I don't go to this church.
Right.
I give $400 to bishop. This ain't for me to say anything. I just got to give these people an example. Listen to me. Throughout the entire pandemic, my family was never hungry.
There you go. Scripture living itself. Living color.
Throughout the entire pandemic, I work right here at Guardian mm-hmm. Radio. You'll hear me every day. Mm-hmm. And I left from Guardian Radio and got a promotion and went over to the next place. Mm-hmm. Throughout the entire pandemic for $400 I give this man. Right. You need to stop it.
Right.
And if you don't apply the principle and it ain't working in your life, that's it.
Right.
The entire pandemic, my family was never mm-hmm. hungry.
No. Can't be.
All those persons who gave money for that poor young girl, the 9-year-old who was raped, mm-hmm. right now they know I could feel the blessings coming mm-hmm. on them because as a result of me moving, I watched God move
mm-hmm.
in my life.
Mm-hmm.
You all need to stop.
No. They hate rules. They hate laws. They hate principles. What they like is fairy tales, church policies, bylaws, and foolishness. To me, I stick in with the word. Now, I don't care if you get mad. You got your view, and I got the Bible view. I don't use my opinion. So to me, at the end of the day, when we subscribe to the word of God, I have to ask myself, Howard, if this person over here is prospering, and I seemingly following the rules, why it isn't working for me? So let me now regroup. Let me review. Let me see, could I be doing something wrong? Let me see the source in which I'm getting this from. Is this lining up with the scripture? See, nobody want to do it because in the Bahamas in particular, we have been taught in this way, and for the most part, subliminally. Once a person say they're a pastor or an apostle, oh, yes, sir, master. Yes, sir, master. We don't know what their personal life is. We don't know what they're dealing with. We don't know what they believe. We don't know none of that. And so you got to ask yourself, what am I doing wrong? Am I putting this person before God? So I didn't come here to cause no controversy. I come here to give truth, and I give the scriptures. So at the end of the day, when I'm debating, and I know what's going to happen. Everybody's going to change the narrative. He said, don't pay tithes.
So this right now, the people say, this man knows not his Bible.
See that?
The devil can bless too. Look at the temptation in the wilderness. It's Texas coming through. Right? So it says, great show as usual. Howard, if the church don't get no collection on Sunday, you know that the pastor will be mad with you, boy, I tell you. What's this in Texas coming through? Yeah, man, stop, right?
Yeah.
So it says, what church do you attend? Are you too deep to be a part of a fellowship? This is Texas coming through. Right?
Changing narratives.
This is the Texas coming through. It says, thank you, because some of these preachers love to bring up the woman with the arms and tell people that they are damned if they don't give tithes to the church. Tithing was for Israelites. This is a text coming through. Tithes were for the Levites and the unfortunate and the refugees. Nothing in the New Testament even mentions tithing.
Zero.
It says to give monies as you have it to support the spread, the gospel of God. So this is the information that's coming through. These are tech coming through. Let me see if I can take this last telephone call. Caller, you got 30 seconds. Go ahead, caller. You're on the line with us live. Go ahead. Go ahead, caller. You're on the line with us live. Caller, you got 30 seconds. Go ahead.
Hey, Howard.
Hey, how you doing?
All right. Been holding long. Well, let me hurry up because time going. Brother Kevin.
Yes, sir.
You're saying that you shouldn't be paying tithes?
I never said that. Never said it.
That's Brother North. That's kind of like...
No, that's Brother Kevin. I said, I never said that you shouldn't pay tithe.
So,
I said,
Kevin,
isn't required.
What I normally do, and I just started lately, when I say lately, maybe over a year or something like that, to pay 10% of anything what I make for my company. I don't do it with one church. I share it up. Am I doing the right thing? Because I used to be thinking once ago, back in the days, to just help poor people or help somebody with something. But now what I do is spend 10%. Between the churches, them. Am I doing it the wrong way?
The Bible says to you, this is the rules you ought to apply by.
Thank you so much, Paul.
Okay, the scripture says to you very clearly, I think it's in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 to 10. And it says, let every man give according as he has purpose in his heart, not under compulsion, not force, not grudgingly, anybody pressuring you to give money, seed, anyone tell you you're going to be cursed. And if you actually go and sow it or give that money as a result of that, then you are violating the laws of God, because God's law said to you, he loves a generous giver, a cheerful giver. So when you give, you should give because this is what God wants. Now, the scripture says that give according as you have purpose in your heart. Philippians 2 and 13 says that the reason for this, it gives a reason now, it says that God who wills in us to do of his good pleasure. So God may be saying to you, you know what, go give this to this church or go give this to this person over here. What I'm saying to you, no preacher have the right to demand that you pay tithe to their church. There is absolutely no scripture in New Testament to justify, neither the Old Testament. Why? Because in the Old Testament, it was a covenant between the Hebrew people and God.
Well, Kevin, I want to thank you so very kindly for being able to be here with us today. I tell you, I know I can get some cuss.
Mm-hmm.
I know I can get some cussing, and I have some pastor friends also who text me and continue to be able to speak about what needs to happen, what doesn't need to happen. We know the necessity of being able to keep your church afloat. And in a lot of ways, I ain't going to fight you for it. Mm-hmm. I ain't going to fight these people for it. I got a text the other day. It says, I agree with what the gentleman says wholeheartedly. There's a text that's coming through the other day. And he says, on the matter of tithe, I encourage believers to honor the principle of the tithe, which is to honor God. See, honor God first in your giving. It says, I tune in with no fault, but he believes in this 100%. So I just want to be very clear about you. Howard gives, man, don't fight me. This is what I do. Mm-hmm. I give. But my giving has always been, and that's why I start helping Howard. Mm-hmm. Howard helps.
Mm-hmm.
Howard helps is to identify these people throughout the entire pandemic, and we get support of a great deal of people here on the radio. And we go and we feed these mm-hmm. people.
That's what we do.
That's all I...
that's it.
What I here for on this platform, if I can't help with what I have.
And you're honoring God doing it.
What I here on this platform, if I can't... There are many people who could call you right now that I don't even... I make it a promise that I ain't taking no pictures of none of these things.
Right.
I never do it. I come and I give these people something. My wife and I, we structure. Mm-hmm. Howard helps. And we continue to be able to do these things. So I want to thank all those persons, and I don't want you to believe that a Howard grant is going contrary to whatever the conditioning is in your church. That is not my position. I don't want your pastor to call me and cuss me out and say, Howard, you cuss. That is not my position.
No.
We're only going back to the Word of God to say, this is the alignment, and we need to be able to see. If you want to see change in your life, make sure you can be able to align yourself accordingly with what the Word of God says. Make sure you pick up the book now. It's Prayers That Work. Kevin L.A. Ewing, Prayers That Work. And you can get it over in Village Road. What you say, Carl? What's it called?
You can get over at Da Vinci's Printing, located at Village Road Shopping Center, and also at All Seasons Books Gift Center, Palmdale Shopping Center.
Kevin, I want to thank you so very kindly for this, man. You are a good and decent man. I thank you for being able to take the time out to pour into these things today, to give us this opportunity to be able to hear about these things. Good afternoon, Mr. Howard. Mr. Ewing and yourself are walking in error, and I personally do not agree. Have some much blessings from tithing. Husband gone on a minimum wage and a mortgage to pay and pay tithes much. This is what it said. I guess they type it fast. To pay and pay tithes, and I saw much blessings. I got 4 kids. All the teachers and doctors are doing well. House paid off. No lack and no living. Listen, we're not fighting you. If you live in these,
I'm not fighting you. They're not listening. They just want to refute and fight. And that's why I say I don't debate scripture. I practice it. It makes no sense go running on backward and forward. I'm only telling you what the law says. I'm not telling you don't pay tithe. I did an extensive 5-part teaching on this, starting out that tithing was a law for who? We're focusing on the law, not what you do or what you are told to do. Simple.
Wow. Well, my brother, I thank you so very kindly for that. Ladies and gentlemen, tomorrow is Small Business Thursday. I thank you so very kindly for chopping it down today. I told you we can swim a little bit in the taboo. We're going to dive a little bit deeper into the taboo and have these good conversations. My brother Kevin, I thank you so very kindly. We're going to continue to talk about your book and how persons could be able to pick that up to be able to, if you want to study and show yourself approved, pick up the book, Prayers That Work, Kevin L.A. Ewing. He's all over Facebook, all over YouTube, and he has his website, KevinLAEwing.com.
Mm-hmm.
KevinLAEwing.com, and you'll be able to pick up the information. Guys, that's the show today. I thank you so much for participating, for being a part of it. Sometimes we got to shake the table and make these things happen. We're going to get back into it. You're going to see you tomorrow right here on Guardian Radio 96.9, The Foundation with Howard Grant. Tomorrow, Godspeed. Have a beautiful day, guys.
The Foundation.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.